Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have Alana Slater on the program. Been hanging out with her in the city this week at Brookfield Plaza Hayes for the AOC. We've been doing a bit of work in there and she's been telling me some fantastic stories. And she's like you, mate. She's an absolute Olympics junkie. She doesn't matter what sports event it is. She's right across it more than anybody who I know other than you, Paul Hazeby, I've got to say. And I had to get her on the show.
Alana, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a joy to be here.
Now, do you get emotional when you watch many of these athletes? Today it was Jessica Fox, which was terrific, and Isaac Stubblety-Cook as well got the gold. And you know what they've been through with the hard work that goes into becoming an Olympic athlete. We did it at a smaller level with our chosen sport, but Olympic level goes to a whole new different field for mine. Do you get emotional because you know what it takes to get to that level?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, you know, I mean, Jess just raced, you know, only within the last hour. And, you know, my little boy is not quite two and he's trying to pull me away. And I'm like, no, just wait a second. I have to watch Jess race. And I was so nervous for her. Like, I get the sweaty palms when watching Australian athletes because I just know they've put in everything that they've got in training, particularly these athletes that have waited another year as well. And they're putting it all out on the line, you know, and they're just going for, like, these really high standards that have been set at the Olympic Games. And, you know, Jess just absolutely smashed it. You know, I was nearly practically in tears watching her finish the line and finish that complete set for her. You know, gold today, bronze yesterday. It's such a tremendous effort. And, you know, congratulations to Jess and her family for just rocking it out in her events. It's just brilliant.
The difference is that there is a lot of these athletes that have had to pay their way over a long period of time. And I know if you reflect on your career, that was something that you and your family had to endure. And you just see, say, Ariane Titmus and what she's been able to do in the last couple of days and to win those gold medals. But the sacrifice that's been made from her family, moving from Tasmania, dad staying behind, selling the house, uprooting their whole life to let their daughter live out their dreams. And I know that it's something that your mum did for you.
Absolutely. You know, like as an athlete, particularly, you know, when it's not in professional sport, you know, these parents, they're making the ultimate sacrifice. Sometimes they're moving just within their local state. Sometimes they're moving states. Sometimes they're moving countries. You know, for me, my family moved, you know, from a wonderful community up in Les Murdies, and they came down to Mount Claremont so I could be right on top of HBS Stadium training 10 sessions a week. And, you know, it's the commitment from the whole family that's really important to remember. And, you know, I wouldn't have got my career without my parents' support. And then after my father passed in a plane crash at 13, you know, the commitment that my mum gave to me to continue following my dream, she didn't have to do that, but she was as dedicated as I was. You know, the bank of mum really rolled up, and she was my psychologist. She was the person that was there to live through every debrief of training, of competition. She was the one that believed in me no matter what, even when I didn't. And she loved me no matter what the result. At the end of the day, I was Alana, her daughter, and that was the most important thing to her. And she just wanted me to be happy. So I lived out my dream of becoming an Olympic athlete. You know, we may have had $500,000 debt at the end of it. I mean, that's the real financial cost for families. But we got to live an incredible journey together.
Now, Sydney 2000, Athens 2004, and of course your pet event was the individual all round, where at Sydney you achieved 16th, which is the highest by any female athlete in our history, and that's a testament to you. But we're seeing one of the world's best, unfortunately, not compete in Simone Biles, and you were giving me an insight into why she's not competing at the moment and why it is so important for her mentally to get over her situation. Can you just describe that to our audience tonight to give us an insight side of what she's dealing with?
Absolutely. Look, this is probably one of the most scary things for any athlete in gymnastics to go through. We call it the twisties. So it might not sound like much, but essentially it's like having a disconnect between your brain and your body. So what you're asking your body to do, it's simply not doing. And then you lose the trust in your body is eroded, the trust in your mind is eroded. And as that trust falls away, you're not able to safely launch yourself into the air, complete two somersaults with however many twists you're doing. In Simone's case on floor, she's doing a double back with three twists in the middle of the air and landing on her feet. This is at the point it becomes dangerous. So what Simone has actually done is she has removed herself from a situation that is physically a very dangerous situation for her. You know, we're not talking about not finishing over the line first, not getting something thrown the right meterage, or missing something by going out of the lines. We're talking about potentially landing on her head. And this is a really serious issue for athletes. And they, kudos to her coach, as she said, I can't trust myself. And they said, that's it. This is the moment we pull you out. And they did absolutely the right thing, not only by Simone, but by Team USA, because then Team USA were able to regroup and really rally together. And she, there was Simone Biles, the goat of gymnastics, making up the bars, passing the girls the chalk, you know, giving all the corrections and encouragement to her teammates. And that team won silver in the end because they rallied together and because Simone removed herself from that situation, because it might have become very dangerous. This is, at the end of the day, people and girls following their dreams, and they're hoping to achieve that. But if they're feeling unsafe, they need to be able to be heard and have a voice to say, I don't feel right, and be able to step away. Because the difference is walking out of the venue or being stretchered out of the venue. And that's a real risk for these athletes, and particularly Simone Biles, with the level of competition that she is performing. It's astronomical. I mean, it's mind-blowing for gymnastics worlds alone, let alone for the general public watching what she's doing. And nobody wants to see her miss out on competing ever again if she chooses to do so because she's injured. You know, it's a huge shame. It's very sad for her to be missing out, because you just want her to perform those routines to the best of her ability and to be enjoying it at the same time, because she truly is a remarkable gymnast that's a once-in-a-lifetime athlete to come through our doors.
That is some unbelievable insight, Alana. Thank you very much for that. But with the twisties, is it something that you can overcome in the space of a week? Because I'm not sure she's completely ruled herself out of this Olympic Games just yet.
Yes, that's... And everyone's very different from this perspective. You know, I can liken, you know, I once became concussed and didn't realise immediately and tried one skill and was like blown away by how much you lose your aerial sense and you get lost in the air. And so, you know, for me, that was just recovering, and that was just a short period of time. But when it just comes out of nowhere, you don't actually know how long it's going to last, and that's the scary thing. And when you're at the Olympic Games, your training environment isn't the same as your home environment. So at home, Simone would normally, she might take a break, she might come back into the gym and do some of her skills into the pit, which is a really large foam landing. So it provides a really safe environment for her to test out whether the twisties are still there or not. But what she doesn't have is that opportunity in the competitive environment, because there's no extra soft landing mats. It's all just the standard competition equipment that we have that you see out on the floor. So for her, it's going to be a really hard battle to know whether it just, will it just disappear in a week? None of us can really give an answer. It'll only come down to Simone being assessed every day by her coaches and her medical staff to know whether she is ready. And she has to be able to believe and trust in her body and herself that when she goes out there, that she's going to be completely safe. And I really, really hope that gymnastics world and the world gets to see Simone Biles compete in the finals, because she's just an amazing athlete. But I know she will make the right decision for her, and no one can ever question whether she should or shouldn't. Only the athlete and the coach can know that. And I think that's what's really beautiful about her relationship with her coaches, is they totally trust each other and they listen to each other, and they respect one another's decisions.
Because it hasn't always been that way, has it? We've seen a lot of the videos about the body shaming and the expectations and the pressure that has been placed on many young females and males too in the sport of gymnastics. So it must please you to see that there is change occurring in your sport.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was incredibly fortunate. I had a wonderful relationship with my coaches. And so, you know, and the prime example of, for me and my career, is fronting up to the Olympic Games in the all-around finals and being halfway through the competition. And I just looked at the vaulting table and the vaulting horse and said to myself, it's too low. I know it's low. This is the middle of an Olympic all-around final. And I went over the horse and it absolutely proved to myself that it was wrong. I'd gone down onto the horse instead of into the horse, using it as a block device to increase my rotation and increase my amplitude. So, and I just stood there on the mats and said, no, it's not right. I'm not getting off this mat till someone measures it. And my coach in that moment, in the middle of the Olympic final, looked at me and listened to me and understood what I was saying. And we just spoke to the coaches around the vaulting table. We spoke to the judges. Before you know it, officials are coming out, the tape measures are coming out, and the vault, it was wrong. It was 5 centimetres too low. So I've lived that moment with a coach trusting and believing you and listening to you and feeling heard. And it truly is incredible to have that. And so I hope this continues around the world for all athletes to feel safe in their environment and feel heard by their coaches, and not just in my sport, but in every sport, because every athlete deserves a voice and to be respected for how they're feeling and whether they feel that they can commit to continuing or not.
Now, Alana, there is a lady competing, or was competing a couple of days ago at 46 years of age in the gymnastics, who is competing in her 8th Olympic Games. She competed against you some 15 years ago. You've since become a mum like she. It's incredible, and I know that you pronounce her name a lot better than I. Can you just please tell our audience about this lady?
Absolutely. Oksana Chuzovitna, she is a living legend in our sport and truly an idol for all sports people around the world. She competed in 8 consecutive Olympic Games from 1992 with the USSR through to this Tokyo 2020 in 2021 for Uzbekistan. And she also competed for Germany in the middle of her career as well. So she has competed 8 times, and she is doing skills that even some athletes who are top in the world can't perform. So she is on the top of her game. She's performing a vault that's named after her. It's a handspring entry. She goes forwards onto the vault. She does one full somersault with a 1.5 twist. So it is absolutely, truly top-level gymnastics at the age of 46. Now, I know that any sport getting to 8 Olympic Games is huge, but in the sport of women's artistic gymnastics, it's just incredible. You know, she's proven that you can be a mum, a woman, an 8-time Olympian, a business owner, a daughter. Like, she is just an incredible woman to show that longevity is possible in sport if you just love what you do and have the right support around you. So she is a true idol in our sport. And, you know, it is such an end of an era for us. You know, I went from watching her on the television at the 92 Olympic Games, idolising the skills that she's doing and her tenacity, and then competing against her and becoming friends with her, to then judging her on the competition floor. It's just a full circle, and it's truly an end of an era, and I really hope that she sticks around in the world of gymnastics and continues to inspire the next generations.
Last one before I let you go, and thank you very much for joining us tonight, Alana. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Tyson Bull, our Aussie male who has made it into the final, horizontal bars, parallel bars, next Tuesday's final, August 3. Looking forward to that.
Oh, can't wait to watch Tyson on high bar finals. Look, this is one of the most spectacular events in men's artistic gymnastics. It is high flying. There are turns, there are twists. And the thing is, with Olympic finals, the athletes warm up in the arena and then they go out into the back gym. And whilst the other finals are going on, they're just waiting, and then they march out and they compete. They don't get another warm-up touch on the actual competitive arena. So they've been waiting maybe 2 hours since warming up in that main competitive arena and then just doing some warm-up on another piece of equipment out the back. So it is one of the highest stakes, the most difficult thing to do. I've done it. I've come out and done the cold turkey routine. It is huge, and anything is truly possible. And Tyson has the difficulty and the execution. If he could just put it all together on the one day, it could be a magic moment for Australia.
Thank you very much for joining us. Get back to watching your Olympic Games. So we really do appreciate you giving up your time here on this Thursday night. Take care, and I'll see you next week.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Good on you. Alana Slater there, Paul Hazelby.
That was unbelievable insight. That was one of the best interviews we've done for the year, in my opinion. And it just encapsulates everything that the Olympics are about in terms of the emotion, and so well spoken, and what that young girl is going through. So well done. Very good interview.
We'll clear a commitment and we will come back. And on the other side, we will be joined by Peter Hatzikoglu. He is the Scorchers signing. Looking forward to having a yak to him next here on Forward to Having a Yak.